but I had like $50,000 in credit card debt. I got into credit cards at like 18.
What was you doing?
Yeah.
It's normally the other way around. Yeah, it's normally like people have student loan debt, but
I feel like that's I have like 25 credit cards.
You
I
was got living off a credit card.
Yeah, like in my doing my master's program. Just when I look at it, I also had like a mental health crisis. I shared with y'all some personal things before we got this. I think I was like masking things. I also was being like the Superman in my family. A lot of us are first generation college students. Mm-hmm. They think we rich as college graduates. I was feeding into that, you know, too, like helping my mom, sending stuff home, or when Christmas come around, getting everybody gifts. I was raised by three different people, my grandma, my aunt, and my mom a little bit. So, but
everybody, welcome to another episode of The Yard Link Up with Historically Black Sense. And I got Miss Priyanka with me again over here holding it down. And I got my dog, MJ, in the building, man. Young and debt free. Don't that sound good? Young and debt free. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? But first of all, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Oh, cool. What's up, everybody? First, thank y'all for having me. My name is MJ Bridges from Racine, Wisconsin. Throw them W's up, Midwest people. Of course, I went to Bama State, and there I majored in mathematics, and then I ended up going off to University of Indianapolis, got a degree in teaching. So I started teaching high school math, and then today, though, I run my company called Young and Debt Free, where I teach, we say underserved, middle, high, and college students on, I call the foundations of personal finance. We talk budgeting, we talk spending, we talk cost of living, and credit basics. Yep.
Sounds good. Dope. Okay, and Miss Priyanka, go ahead and tell them who you are again on this episode.
I don't know. That's hard to follow up behind. But of course, I graduated from the Alabama State, and I am the owner of Priyanka's Palace. If it don't bling, it don't sting.
Mm.
There we go. Now, Miss Priyanka is going to sit in, and she pretty much going to co-host with me today because, this is what we're doing. Now, before I get started, we're going to do something fun. We got my boy DJ Duce back there in the building, repping the Albany State.
Let's go.
Now, and before we get into this conversation, he's going to play something for us, man. So, you know, get into a little something to get the vibe going. Hey, look, though, why you hot with it, man? We're going to play a game first, all right? Mm-hmm. Tell the people what year you graduated, first of all.
2010, baby, class of 2010. Stand up.
2010, all right. So, we're going to play a song. What do they going to play a song? Mm-hmm. And tell us what comes to mind when you hear this song from your college days.
Let's get it. Oh, I was outside.
Appreciate you for joining, brother.
Nah, thank you for having me, man. Yeah.
All right, so look, check this out. I want you to start off by telling the people exactly what you do. They see the young and debt free,
yeah.
But in your words, tell them what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Because I guess, like, too, I had to learn messaging over the past thing. I start with a little story. So First, this started as a blog, and I was just blogging my debt-free journey. So I started my debt-free journey January 2014. 6 months after moving to Atlanta, I realized, what am I doing? And so I realized I just sucked with money. And I moved here with, like, a lot of people with ambitions. Actually, I was doing, like, motivational speaking. Okay. I was teaching in Indianapolis first. I started my career. moved here, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be a motivational speaker. Started a YouTube channel. I wasn't working the first 4 months, and then I realized, what am I doing? And so I went right back to work, and then that was October. I went back to work. I moved here July 2013. October, went back to work. January, little dramatic story. Found myself on the side by Wesley Chapels. I was going to MLK High School in Lithonia, but I found myself on the side of the road, and I couldn't afford to put gas in my car. And so it was that weekend where I was like, yo, I need to really work on my finances. I'm like, I got a master's. I did what they all said, but I suck. And so it was that weekend where I declared to become debt-free. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I could just remove all my debt, then I would have more time, more money, more mental space, more capacity to do things that I truly love. So that was like my vision. And y'all, that was January. February, I had 4 jobs. I was working at the high school. Then I would hurry up and leave, get to the west side, tutoring at some schools after school Tuesday and Thursday. Then I tutored for another company on Saturday morning. And then I worked at Sweet Lounge. Shout out to Sweet Lounge. Sweet Lounge had just opened up. I was like some of the first employees when they opened up. And I worked there for like a year and a half, just on the Saturday table bussing. And just fast forward, I end up eliminating about 25,000 after my first year. And a lot of people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not going to brunch no more. Like, stop inviting me to places. You know, it was like, I was just very conscious. I stopped using my credit cards. I would do the cash method, things like that. Actually, a bruh was in my ear. Shout out to the alphas, those bruhs. And he was like, dude, that's what you need to be teaching. You need to be. And I'm like, you think so? Because in my head, I wasn't doing anything. In my mind, I wasn't at first. Fast forward, I ended up seeing what he was talking about a little bit more, developed some more passion. I started Young and Debt-Free, summer 2016. And it was a blog documenting. I still wasn't debt-free yet. I was still documenting my journey. Just keep following me. It was about 2017. I didn't get teacher loan forgiveness. And I remember getting those loans out from my master's program with the intention to get $17,500 eliminated. If you teach high school math or special ed or science, you can get $17,500 eliminated. Well, that year I moved to Atlanta and I didn't work them little 3 months, the federal government came back and said that was a gap in employment. And to receive teacher loan forgiveness, you have to teach 5 consecutive years. So they said that one consecutive, all over 2.5 months mm-hmm. of that. So I was furious, like really upset. I couldn't believe it. But it motivated me even more to do what I do today. Because people need to really just read what's going on and pay attention to the like the small things that's in the laws, if you will. Fast forward, I became debt-free in August 2019, and I found my voice with Young and Debt-Free more of like early 2021, because I was kind of lost in the sauce. You know, everybody jumped on the line 2020. I was like, oh, let me try to look at this and do this. And I actually came back to my senses 2021, and I focus on people who look like me, the kids who are underserved, and I teach them what I call, again, the basics of personal finance. So how I do business is I partner with different colleges and educational support programs. I'm technically an educational support business, and then that's how I learned how to get paid to do it. Because, you know, because they like, you know, nobody got people I'm teaching don't have the money to do it, but I partner with different school districts and college programs, and then I offer workshops and have books and all kinds of stuff, a curriculum and stuff I built.
Dope,
that's a long story. Thank y'all for that.
It's needed.
It's needed. That's an interesting
story. That ain't for
story.
The kids. That's for the adults.
That's really, really for the adults. I don't think, well, people know how debt can really affect you, but a lot of people just wing it too, and they just go through the motions, and they just have debt. They're like, forget it. I do it when I get there. But I don't think, like you even said, they can wear on your mental as well. You know, you can free up your mental capacity by freeing up your debt, freeing up their bank account. So it's very dope that you're doing that. You're doing that, and that you're on the journey that you're on now. So I got a few questions. Do say, Priyanka, please, piggyback, hop in the convo as well. But I'm gonna start out with so what did your HBCU experience teach you about managing finances, And we can all chime in on this.
Anybody want to start? Well, it definitely taught me.
Y'all had a strip club.
We had no strip clubs in Albany, man. Unfortunately, we had none. But with the with the refund checks and stuff like that. It did teach me a little bit to save some for a rainy day, but I'll eventually blow through it. But going into the future, it's like, hey, the money that you received back then, let's be smart about it now. When you get money now, so it taught me a little bit. But after college, that's when I got really like on it about my finances because okay, it's gonna affect you. Yeah. You got a family now. You got big expenses, so. Yeah.
I don't know, directly, I'm going to back up. Do say, that I was taught, I was still, hustling. I was getting a lot of, mind you, y'all, a lot of my debt's from credit cards. So I only had, leaving Alabama State, $3,300 in student loans. So I was fortunate. But I had another, $25 in my master's. But I had, $50,000 in credit card debt. I got into credit cards at, 18.
What was you doing?
Yeah.
It's normally the other way around. Yeah, it's normally people have student loan debt,
I have 25 credit cards.
You was living off a credit card.
During my master's program. Just when I look at it, I also had a mental health crisis. I shared with y'all some personal things before we got this. I think I was masking things. I also was being the Superman in my family. A lot of us are first generation college students. Mm-hmm. They think we rich as college graduates. I was feeding into that, too, helping my mom, sending stuff home, or when Christmas come around, getting everybody gifts. I was raised by three different people, my grandma, my aunt, and my mom a little bit. So, but all of that, but the experience, because I was at an HBCU, especially an HBCU like Alabama State, where we, I think, pride ourselves on teaching a lot of students who are first generation. We're not like some of the schools who have, don't mind you, it's generations of Alabama State students and graduates and families, but we're a school who attract first generation students, students who are definitely giving them another chance. And so a lot of us come from backgrounds where we don't have money and we don't have the literacy, we don't have anything. So, of course, when you look back at it, the refund check, that's the first time we ever had money, that much money at one time. And we don't have the skills to manage that. We spending it. What? That's when we
got
polo boots and stuff was hot and all that stuff. And so when I look back at the specifics of HBCU experience, I think about just the people I was around and how a lot of us were just in the same boat. So we were just doing the same thing. It wasn't a student. Or at the time, financial literacy wasn't a buzz term, so the school wasn't jumping on it. Now, the schools are jumping on it, putting programs in to help students. But we was all, what? It was a fashion show in the cast.
So what about you, Pro? Mm-hmm.
I would say it helped me budget. When your parents send you a certain amount of money, you can't ball out on that. That's for food. That's for gas money, essentials that you need. So it taught me how to budget. If your parents send you $100, okay, I gotta go to Walmart, get these noodles. It taught me how to budget. It taught me how to shop, be cooking your own food, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But I would say I learned more financial literacy after college because that's when life get real,
Mm-hmm. Real. It does. The funny thing is I've always been kind of frugal.
Really?
Very.
Good for you.
Very. So when I was in college, of course you get your refund checks and everything that we're talking about. I did work study a couple of times too, and I ended up booking something actually that was real good. I made a lot of money, a lot at one point, and I was living on campus, eating on campus. So I had nothing to spend my money on besides going to the Rose go out and do. Because, really, what you going in Montgomery?
You didn't want to spend it at all?
I had nothing to spend it on. And I refused to go spend it just to blow it. Because at that point in my life, I had got out of just buying clothes all the time. Mm-hmm. I was big on that in high school. So I'm kind of glad that phase was in high school versus college because I was just stacking. Man, that's good. Just stacked.
That's real.
So my story a little bit different when it comes to that. Yeah, people be on me now talking about I'm so frugal, but I'm telling like, you, well, cool. You know what? Like, I will be frugal.
Right.
I think I just learned my lesson more so this past year going out. I'm like, what am I doing? Boy, I didn't leave Atlanta, but it cost you how much to step out the door in Atlanta?
Listen. Oh,
Before you leave the driveway.
Boy, I had to tell myself, who do you think you are?
And you got to tell people moving here, too. Like, look, like, this ain't no game. Like,
nah, it ain't. It ain't. It's definitely not. Okay, so... Well, y'all kind of already said what the importance of financial, well, when you realize the importance of financial literacy. So what ways can HBCU better prepare students to be financially literate?
Ooh. Workshops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Albany State, they had a couple of workshops that they helped us with learning how to manage your money better. So that'll be a good start.
Oh,
so
y'all did have them?
Yeah, we did have them.
Oh, dope. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
put on by the SGA and stuff like that, so.
I can't remember, like, maybe someone was trying to host it, but again, it wasn't like a buzz term like it is now. Like, now everything, like, financial literacy. I know because I work now in this industry, they are implementing a lot of programs. What I'm finding, a lot of it, too, is social emotional. You know, there's so much emotion tied to money. I always tell people, y'all, I'm adding and subtracting. Like, I'm not the person that's in the stock market or anything. I'm not this day trader investor. I tell people that, no, I focus on the foundations. And a lot of times with the students, it's more emotional, right? Money makes brings anxiety. Money brings stress. They only want to talk about it. So it's almost like get the expert in to talk and hopefully someone who actually look like them and stuff. Then also, I think, like, bring in some – use the counseling center even when it comes to emotions dealing with money. That's when I get them to start talking, because you can mask why maybe they don't want to talk about money or why it brings them anxiety. So for a lot of our students, it brings them anxiety. And I've been fortunate to go around to I was at Hampton this past with 2023 at Southern, of course, Bama State. I'm trying to think of some other HBCUs I've been working with. But a lot of times it's so much trauma that follows when you talk about money with our students. So that's always interesting.
Okay, interesting.
Do you think putting it in the curriculum can help? Because, I mean, only time we learn, you know, about money is if you take a business class or something, mm-hmm. writing a check mm-hmm. or something like that, but that actually putting it in the curriculum. Mm-hmm.
That should be an orientation. First get there, you need to know what's up. With that
like a life out the college class, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't tell you.
That.
Perfect answer.
They tell you what it's supposed to be, but they leave a whole lot out.
They don't understand, like, the cost of living. When you show them really what, like, I do this one activity where it's like, okay, if you make $50,000 after college, $40,000, all the way up to, let's say, $100,000. This really what it looks like, though, especially if you get a job every 2 weeks or bi-monthly, twice a month. So then when you break that down after the taxes and stuff, and then you want to live in X city, of course, let's say Atlanta. Okay, you want a one bedroom. You want to be in a safe environment. You want this. This is how much is this going to cost? Like, it opens their eyes when they see that paycheck go zoop, 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 zoop. And I say, oh, let's give a scenario if you have $40,000 of student loans. But based off the federal student loan guideline, you have to pay this loan back, right? This is how much your payment going to be a month. So you got your rent. Mm-hmm. You got your student loan payment. Let's see if you got a car. You know, everybody wanted to get a fancy car right away. You didn't buy. I got a 2008 Chrysler Sebring. It's beat up outside, but it's mine. I own it. And so, you want to get the car. Okay, this is a car note. This is what car insurance is. So, like, helping them see, like, what it really is, and then now let's talk about how we can prepare ourselves for that or something like that. But the numbers are really eye opening. I realize.
Especially with the apartments in Atlanta, like I'm hearing about the apartments. I'm like, y'all can't have a
studio
house?
1700.
It's crazy. Everybody like, oh, everybody. Boy, hey, it's real in Atlanta. I will just say that. I'm sure everywhere else too, but Atlanta is real. All right. So, what are some books, apps, programs that you would recommend for people who, you know, just to help manage their finances? And when I say this, I mean, you know, we're talking to alums too. We're talking to HBCU mm-hmm. alums, HBCU students. So what would you recommend, if any?
Me? Well, I, first,
Your blog, first off, right?
Well, I got a book coming out on Amazon. Okay, I'll start later.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. But it's more of like a workbook. Making it more applicable. But one of my favorite books is The Happiness Advantage. It's actually not about money, but it is more about, again, like your happiness, and it dives deep into. It's the reason why maybe if you see me, I'm like, what's up? Happy Friday, happy Saturday, happy Sunday. I like speak happiness into you. And again, that book helped me a lot on my debt-free journey, helped open up some of those kind of like called money traumas. And so I think something like that, self-development, the magic of thinking big, is also another good one, are really good. And then when it comes to money, Napoleon, oh God, how I'm getting this. I'm getting this off the tip of my tongue. Think and Grow Rich. Yeah,
is one of my favorites.
Think and Grow Rich is definitely like, and it's both money and again that mental kind of like self empowerment type book. I definitely promote those books.
Mm-hmm. Okay, dope. Yeah, it's funny. Think and Grow Rich is definitely one of my favorites. But I like all of Napoleon Hill's books. Mm-hmm. The ones that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of substance in it.
Dr. Kimbrough, I think he was over at the AUC. He has Think and Grow Rich, the Black Choice. Like, it's like a black version of it. I want to say it's Kimbrough. Please, y'all listen, correct me. But, yeah, it's called Think and Grow Rich, the Black Choice. And that's also a really good one.
I really got to look that up. Mm-hmm. So, outside of refund checks, how did you all make money in college? If you can say
work study,
you a legitimate way.
Yeah, work study. I had a couple jobs here and there. I was a tutor at a Greater Sacred Mount Olive outreach program. It's a church down there in Albany. They did a great job with their tutoring services for the kids K through 8. Mm. I worked at the radio station while I was down there, so I was making some money down there. With that, and then what else was I working at? Then I started working at McDonald's, FedEx, because I had my daughter while I was in college. So, of course, I had to step it up with that. So, that's how I made my money down there.
Okay.
That's real.
Well, I did hair outside the house. I worked at Hooters. I worked at Belk. I was just hustling.
Yeah, same thing. I was a RA and then tutored. And then scholarships too. Like I applied for a lot of sometimes this is back when bulletin boards still a thing. Yeah, they are. I've been going to some schools. Yeah, they still got the bulletin boards and stuff. But I know it's a lot of technology stuff, but I always tell students like there's so many scholarships out there no one applies for even while you're still in school. And so even at State, I remember I was doing like the Black History Month scholarship essay contest. I was just like submitting stuff. But you'll win $300, you know, because there's only so many people that was applying for it. And then I was in a lot of research programs. So I did like a research internship at Auburn. And I was like an engineer. And then there was another program called NSF STEM. I think it was at State, but also I got paid to do research to do that. So for students who's out there, definitely in STEM, like it's so much money. Like it's so much money floating out there, especially if you're a young black woman. Any of us, but especially the young black women, it's just so much STEM money floating. Yeah, that's what we do.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. So look, I'm going to take it back on a lighter note. Now you already answered this question, so you already know your answer. Probates or step shows, which one is your favorite?
I'm not Greek, by the way, but
you experienced some.
Listen, I was at all of them. You got partners that come out, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely take probates over step shows.
Okay.
Just the excitement of seeing your people come out, people that you didn't know that was going to cross that fraternity or sorority come out. It was just a beautiful thing, especially at Auburn State. So, I take probates.
Okay.
Yeah, probate, bro.
Probate?
Yeah, one not like
why?
Probate. I think piggyback at the excitement of it, people's families, the skits. I mean, Alabama State, well, the step show skits can go down too. But the probate skits, like, they go down. At State, too, I could say I'm proud. We have a lot of Pop or D9 chapters, you know. I remember, shout out to Delta, they Beta Eta done had like two general presidents. They the only our Delta's there. Like we have a lot of pop, of course, Beta Hoop. So, and I'm an alpha from state. It's so the pro base is pretty lit. Like and during my time, we had like this pro base spot. It's no longer there. It's so sad. Where it's outside the old calf and but yeah, probates. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that mixed probate stuff they got now. I like when everybody.
Everybody had their own day like, back then too. Like everybody had their own day. Like it was like against like federal law to probate during somebody's week back then. Yeah. If the AKs was to come out during Delta week, but it would be a stop the school. So now with the joint probate, so of course everything's just changed. It's different. We have to set what it is. But what back then, it would be a war inside the union. It just would never happen. It would never happen. It just won't. Like so, yeah. We was it was different, but it's good times.
Okay. How would you all sum up financial literacy in the Black community as a whole? And I'm gonna ask this question, and we know we don't get up out of here.
Sum it up in the Black community.
In the Black community,
I just think we're making progress. We're talking about it, you know. So I want to say progress. I even see churches are jumping on. Churches is going to be a big intricate part of it too. I say progress. Of course, you got when you have like Earn Your Leisure, like what they have done in this just 3-4 year span, just rocketed, and that's in front of your face, and they've put mixed culture with it. So I believe people like them, my colleagues, I'm seeing now that I'm in this space, and I never thought I'd be in this space. Actually, I didn't. You know, I'm just telling my story honestly, and then I teach, so it kind of made sense to merge in. But it's a lot more than you think. People out there working and people out there trying to teach it. You know, it's one thing to throw information out, but like teaching the application. So I'll say it's some progress going on. If you haven't been in InvestFest, even like what they have going on here when they come down here for that. But it's other people doing things. Of course, they like the big wigs right now, if you will, in the culture. But yeah.
Dope. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to chime in on that?
I mean, just to piggyback off what he said, the conversation is being had, so that's definitely a step in the right direction. Hitting the youth with it, and when I say youth, I mean earliest 4th, 5th grade, because you know these kids are getting money. You know what I'm saying? So let's get on them now, teach them how to use that money wisely, save it, invest it. Learn how to, you know what I'm saying? Cause you know, like you like your water boys and stuff like that. Yeah, like, you know absolutely. What I'm saying? Help maximize what they got going on. So the conversation now being had is lovely because we weren't talking about that at our age.
Not
we
at all.
That young, so
not at all. Yeah. What about you, Pri?
Like he said, the conversation is being had. You know, young people, like we're from this generation, go to college, get your degree. But this, the TikTok generation, these folks become a millionaires overnight. So, you know, I can say a lot of people are talking about fixing their credit and stuff like that. So the conversations are being had.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a lot of progress. One of my main things, I tell people, don't try to keep up with everything that you see for one. Yeah, you're going to drain your wallet trying to keep up with the next person most times. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, because you don't know what a lot of people have. People try to keep up with the wrong people. I think y'all know a lot of people who the most low-key.
I'm guilty of it. Yeah.
Person with the fattest wallet, probably. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just run your own race. You feel me? That's my whole thing. But I definitely appreciate you for coming through, bro, man.
Thank you for having me.
Let the people know anything that you have going on. Shout out to socials and all of that.
Yeah, well, you can follow me at Young and Debt Free ATL. It's all spelled out, Young and Debt Free ATL on IG. Or also go to my website at younganddebtfree.com. And later on this year, I'll be finally dropping 2 of my workbooks. I've been having them, but I do like group workshops, you know? Okay. So they like meant for the workshops, but I built a curriculum to where individually now people can access them. And then There'll be a Young and Debt-Free Week in Atlanta this fall. So that's exciting.
Congrats. Yeah, congrats. Yeah. That's dope. That's dope.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, earn your leisure. Y'all might want to invest.
Young and Debt-Free for the grow, I'm telling you. But anything y'all want to leave them with? Priyanka, DJ Duce?
Keep going, man. I'm looking out for that workbook.
Too, right.
Man.
Oh, cool.
Because we want to be old and debt-free, too.
No, no, no. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Dope, dope. Well, look, man, I appreciate you again. I appreciate Priyanka and Duce for sitting in as well. And if it's anything that I learned from this particular podcast, if I need some money, I'm going to call them so y'all can deal.
Thank y'all for having me. All the HBCU love in here. I love it. Right.
But yeah, you'll have tuned into another episode of The Yard Link Up with the Historically Black Sense, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.